Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus came to serve the house of Israel, but it was a Roman centurion who caused him to say, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." Matthew 8:10. A centurion was a Roman officer in command of 100 men. He said to Jesus, "Only say the word, and my servant will be healed." Jesus didn't need to go to the man's house. He could just give the order. "For I too am a man under authority," said the centurion, "with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, said to his disciples, said to Christians, "You and me, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." Matthew 8:8-10. Military men, soldiers, are primed to understand the Christian faith. Sometimes it may take a while, but the military ethos helps soldiers understand how the powerful word of Christ, spoken from the office of authority, is effective in people's lives. Naaman, from our Old Testament reading, is a ready example. 2 Kings tells us that Naaman was the commander of actually a foreign army, not one of Israel's, right? He was commander of the army of the king of Syria. And by him, our Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was also a leper. He wasn't as quick as the Roman centurion, it seems, when it came to faith and understanding the authority of God being exercised by his called prophet. But he was a military man, and eventually, when his servants reminded him, he got it. And he enjoyed the result of his trust in the given order. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Picture of baptism. Is it the water that does such wonderful things? Not simply water, but the word with the water does these things, right? The word is spoken, and that is enough. That's all that's necessary. Just give the order, and it's done. This is called, in churchy language, performative utterance. God's word does what it says. What is uttered is performed. It's not just described, it's performed. God speaks it to us through his servants. It is still his word, though, and therefore it is still effective. The order has been given by our commander. Forgive, and it is forgiven. Withhold forgiveness, and it is withheld. Which is why we start every service with confession and absolution, and why this poor schmuck has the privilege of saying, "You are forgiven." Not my words. I am just a servant doing what we have been told to do. You are hearing the word of your commander, your God, who is forgiving you. Jesus has given his order, hasn't he? Matthew 28:18-20 makes it very clear. Jesus came and said to the disciples, to the church, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So he's the man of authority. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, the words I've spoken, things I've taught you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Lord has said the word, and his people are being healed. You will see it again this week. You saw it last week. You will see it again with your own eyes this morning. As Stephanie and Kate come forward here, they stand here, they kneel here. And as those who've been baptized, they say, by the grace of God, that they will continue steadfast in this faithful confession and church and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. This is your last chance to scoot out. They acknowledge the gifts that God has given them in their baptism, and you will hear the questions asked of them and their answers. You'll be able to read and follow along on page 272. Which page? 272. They have faith in Jesus because Jesus has spoken his word, and it's there. There's no taking it back. The command has been given. The order has been issued. The evangelists wrote down the word, and his apostles and now his pastors and his lay people carry that word out, healing the nations. All Jesus had to do was give his command, and he gave it. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Christian soldiers continue to be enlisted to fight the good fight of faith and sent to war against the evil powers and principalities that bombard God's people. Today we are blessed and privileged to witness that very thing. Stephanie is a Christian wife. Kate, a Christian daughter. Stephanie, a Christian mother. Both of them are Christian citizens in this land. They are, at the end all be all, like us, Christians. That is their identity. Christians in the battalion of believers who are equipped for battle by our Lord and God here at this altar and dispatched out into the world from this war room. Now, it's hard for us to grasp this military image. That's why I picked Onward Christian Soldiers for our hymn of the day. It is not popular to think about the church in military terms these days. That's so militant. Only some of us here have experienced military service. There's a big percentage of vets actually here in this congregation. It's kind of cool. And most all of us, whether vet or non-vet, struggle to see our Lord, his church, his ministers, and his people in military terms. We've sort of depleted Jesus of his command, and we've made him into this flowery hippie. He has become the Vietnam protester, not the Vietnam gunner. Something's different in our day and age. We wrestle with seeing our world as the war-torn battlefield that it is. Our spiritual goggles are fogged over, and we don't see clearly most of the time. But we are Christian soldiers marching onward as to war. The church is militant. Our general, Jesus Christ, has issued his order, and that's all we need. Just his spoken word, and it's done. We are forgiven of our sins because he said we are. You, take that personally. You are forgiven of your sins because he said so. The order was given. We are forgiven because he said so. He did what was needed on the cross, and he has declared that all the work is finished. He has declared the war is over in a sense. We now just go out and make sure the enemy knows that. The enemy's going to put up a fight, and we remind them, you've been beat, bub. It's over. Baptism is your birth into his brotherhood because he said it is, period. Communion gives us his true body and blood, which is hard for us to grasp because we have physical eyes and we have a physical tongue and we see wine and we see bread and we taste those things, but he says, it is my body and blood. So it is. He gave the order. We're like Naaman. We take a little bit to get it, but eventually, oh yeah, I guess I get it. I get it. And with those things in communion, we are given forgiveness of sins, salvation, and eternal life with Christ forevermore. That's redundant. Eternal life with Christ forevermore. You are a Christian, my friends. Not because of anything you've done, but because Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth, and he used that authority to fight for you on the cross. And then to send out his soldiers to baptize you and to teach you to observe all that he has commanded you so that you would know you're forgiven. And you are. Amen. Amen. Now, I know, you thought the sermon was over, and it kind of is. Part two. Now, to help us have something of the military-minded ethos that outfits soldiers with a propensity to understand how faith given from how faith in the authority and the spoken word given from that authority works, I took the liberty of retooling the United States Navy SEALs ethos. Okay? I'm sorry if I butchered it for all you Navy people, Marines. Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who served as a Navy SEAL, said that the SEAL's ethos describes their hero archetype. So this is kind of like a creed. If you're thinking creed, it's kind of like a creed, but it's different from a creed because it's more how you live out that faith that you confess in the creed, right? So this is a little bit different. It's an ethos. And he described that hero archetype and how every SEAL holds the other SEAL accountable to it. It encourages him to live up to that archetype, to be the hero he wants to be, even though he fails at it, but to live up to it, to try. This is exactly how we are as Christians. We support each other. We are to encourage one another. When we see a comrade in arms struggling, we are to help him, right? Today, I want you to understand that you've received the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been spoken to you already a number of times. It'll be delivered to you through the sacrament here before we're done. You have been forgiven. The gospel, the good news of your justification, the forgiveness of your sin is now operative in your life. It shapes you. It molds your heart. Will you live like Christ perfectly? No. But can you strive to live up to that hero archetype? Yes. Every single day. The gospel is what enables us to live how we do and how we want to. It is by the gospel that the Holy Spirit empowers you to live better than you were living before you were a Christian and better than you were before today as a Christian. And the Spirit is using that gospel each day to equip you for service to others. So now, Jonas, come help me, would you? Jonas is going to distribute this pamphlet. I labeled it the Church Militant Ethos. It is a description of the individual Christian soldier together with his congregational brothers in arms. So please follow along as I speak it. I want you to reflect on it and see if you can own it for yourself. Put yourself in that first person. Are you the I in this pamphlet? Is this the church? Is this what you want your brothers to be? Is this what you want to be? On a daily basis, I'll read it out loud and we'll go through it together. May we never be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As soon as he's done, we will begin. Give him a chance to sit down himself. Just go ahead and hold on to those. The Church Militant Ethos. Is this you and is this us? Right? In these end times full of war, famine, plague, pestilence, and all manner of evil, there is a special breed of warrior ready to answer our Lord's call. A common man with an uncommon desire to love others more than himself. Forged by adversity, he stands alongside Christianity's courageous witnesses to serve his Lord's church, the people of God, and protect their way of life. I am that man. My baptism is my birth into this life of honorable service, and by it I have received God's favor and a very rich heritage. Bestowed upon me by the Holy Spirit, my faith enables me to follow the example of the heroic saints who have gone before. It is my privilege and duty to guard the truth of Scripture and to deliver it undefiled to those who come after me. By bearing the triune name, I acknowledge the responsibility of my inherited vocation and way of life. It is a privilege freely given by Christ, whom I strive to emulate every day. My loyalty to Christ and my congregation is beyond reproach. I humbly serve as a guardian to my fellow Christians, always ready to defend the apostolic faith and assist any brother in his time of need. I do not advertise my good works or ever attempt to identify them for credit's sake. I seek no recognition for my words or actions. Rather, I seek to display the glory of Christ who works in me and deserves all credit for the good that I do. I voluntarily accept the inherent hazards of following Christ, placing the spiritual welfare and eternal security of others before my own. I would walk into the fire of hell to prevent my neighbor from the heat of those flames. I serve with honor before and away from Christ's altar. There is no escaping the battlefield. I aim to control my emotions, my lips, and my actions, regardless of circumstance. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I am set apart from other men. Uncompromising Christian integrity is my standard. In repentance, my character and honor are steadfast. My word is my bond as God's is his. We expect to lead and be led. In the absence of good order, I will take charge, serve my Christian brothers, and accomplish the mission. As our Lord and his apostles lead us by example, so I too lead by example in all situations, striving to be all things to all people for salvation's sake. By God's grace, I will never quit. By the power of his Spirit, I persevere and thrive in the face of adversity, for I have Christ on my side. When I suffer, I rejoice. My hope is in Christ, and the path to hope is cut with suffering, endurance, and character. My Lord provides all my physical and spiritual needs and has delivered me from my enemies. To the cross of Christ, I cling. If knocked down by sin, I will get back up every time. I am repentant. I commune with my God, and by his sacrament, I am able and I will draw on every remaining ounce of strength Christ gives me to protect my fellow Christians and accomplish our gospel mission. I am never out of the fight. Discipline is good. I am a disciple of Christ. We expect the resurrection and behave as such. The lives of my Christian brothers and the success of our mission depend on the Holy Spirit who works through me. My God-given skills, scriptural proficiency, and faithful confession in word and deed. My training is never complete. We train for war and fight to win the souls of the lost. People are our prize. I stand ready to bring the full spectrum of Christian doctrine and power to bear in order to achieve my mission as an evangelist and the goals established by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The execution of my duties will be direct, bold, and always guided by the principles that I serve to defend and proclaim. I am not a hypocrite. Words have meaning, and I use them accurately in and out of season. Brave believers have fought and died in service to God's apostolic tradition and hallowed reputation that I have been baptized into and have vowed by the grace of God to uphold. In the worst of conditions, the legacy of the unwavering Christian remnant soaked in the blood of Christ steadies my resolve and silently, by the Holy Spirit, guides my every deed. In Christ, I will not and cannot fail. Amen. Amen. Godspeed, and Christ be with you always. Amen.